Good morning. We give a warm welcome to all those joining us for our service today, the 20th Sunday after Trinity. Our worship is led by our good friend, Mrs. Sheila Telfer, lay preacher and church secretary at St. Andrew's Roundhay. We are very grateful to you, Sheila, as we know how busy you are at the present time. Please would you convey our best wishes to the Reverend Tim Lowe and his family, and to all at St. Andrew's. The link for our Worship at 4 Zoom service led by our Minister Clare this afternoon has been sent out. Our podcast service next Sunday will be led by our Minister. Thank you.
Good morning. Let us worship God. Let us offer to God the gifts of our hearts, our longings and our love. The gifts of our souls, our prayers and creativity, the gifts of our minds, our thoughts and decisions. Let us offer to God the best of all we are. And our first hymn this morning is Meekness and Majesty. Let us pray. God of love, you are love. Love is your being. Love is your nature. Love is your purpose. You are the source of all love, and we praise you, we worship you, we adore you. We offer afresh to you all the love of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our strength. We rejoice in the love that you have for us, and in the delight that you find in us as we express our love for you. We are amazed at the love you have for us, and thank you from the depths of our being for the freedom that gives us to enjoy being the people you have made us to be. As we rejoice in your love for us, help us to demonstrate the integrity of our love by loving our neighbours as ourselves. May our love for you be as sincere on Monday morning as it is on Sunday morning. May our offering of heart, soul, and mind be as complete in the home and workplace as it is at communion. God of love, we celebrate again the wonders of your love and pray that the worship and service we offer may truly be filled with your love. For Jesus' sake we pray.
Amen.
And we bring our confessions to God. When our sharing of the gospel has been shallow, Jesus, Lord and Messiah, forgive us. When our words have been empty, Jesus, Lord and Messiah, forgive us. When we have given nothing of ourselves and offered no kindness or depth of care, Jesus, Lord and Messiah, forgive us. When we have not lived what we have preached, Jesus, Lord and Messiah, forgive us.
Amen.
And we join together to say the words that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever.
Amen.
Our first reading today comes from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verses 1 to 8, and it will be read by Francis Byrne.
Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians, verses 1 to 8. From Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the people of the church in Thessalonica, who belong to God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. The judgment at Christ's coming. Our brothers, we must thank God at all times for you. It is right for us to do so, because your faith is growing so much and the love each of you has for the others is becoming greater. That is why we ourselves boast about you in the churches of God. We boast about the way you continue to endure and believe through all the persecutions and sufferings you are experiencing. All of this proves that God's judgment is just, and as a result, you will become worthy of his kingdom for which you are suffering. God will do what is right. He will bring suffering on those who make you suffer, and he will give relief to you who suffer and to us as well. He will do this when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven with his mighty angels, with a flaming fire, to punish those who reject God and do not obey the good news about our Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 22 and verses 34 to 46, and this will be read by Sandra Barry.
Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 46, the Great Commandment. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, The son of David. He said to them, How is it then that David, in the Spirit, calls him Lord, saying, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions.
Nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Last week, we heard Jesus answering a trick question posed to him by the Pharisees and Herodians, and neatly dodging the trap they had set for him. This is followed in Matthew's Gospel by an account of a similar attempt by the Sadducees to trap Jesus with questions about the resurrection. But again, Jesus responds in a way that both silences and amazes them. Today, we have heard from Matthew how the Pharisees regroup for yet another attempt to discredit Jesus. And this time, their question focuses on what lies at the heart of their religion, the Mosaic Law, a constant topic of discussion in the rabbinic schools of the day. Most scribes or lawyers are Pharisees and are committed to the tradition of the elders, that is, human interpretations of God's law. But their commitment to the tradition of the elders brings them into conflict with Jesus, who says that they ignore God's laws in favour of their traditions. The question, which commandment in the law is greatest, is not unusual. Rabbis routinely asked such questions of each other and their disciples in an honest attempt to plumb the depths of the law. The problem here is not the question, but the spirit in which it is asked. The Old Testament contains 613 commandments, and there is no clear standard for judging which is greatest. In one sense, because God gave the commandments, all are of equal importance. However, rabbis spoke of some commandments as heavy and others as light, and there was an ongoing debate regarding the relative importance of various commandments and how to summarise them for ordinary people. Which commandment in the law is greatest? Jesus responds, You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This comes from Deuteronomy and builds on the first commandment, You shall have no other gods before me, adding on the requirement to love. It's a textbook answer that the lawyer would have found hard to criticize, and Jesus could have stopped there, knowing he was on safe ground. But instead, he chooses to continue, adding, And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. In saying that the second commandment is like the first, Jesus means that they are related and have similar weight. Love of God naturally leads to love of neighbour, and love of neighbour is an integral part of loving God. So also, obedience to the two commandments, to love God and to love neighbour, work together to keep us on the path that God has created us to walk. As long as we observe both commandments, we can be confident that we are on that godly path. However, if we choose to ignore either commandment, we will soon find ourselves straying from that path. Clearly, the command, "You shall love," does not mean the same thing in both commandments, and in neither context does it refer to the sort of warm, fuzzy, romantic love we see portrayed in films. Love of God should be understood as a matter of reverence, commitment, and obedience, whereas love for one's neighbour means acting towards others with their good, their well-being, and therefore fulfilment as our primary motivation. The Pharisees are very comfortable with the former, for to them the observance of faith is all about rules and rituals and the letter of the law. But the latter is outside their comfort zone, for, according to Jesus, the law and the covenant are all about right relationships with God and with creation. Jesus knows that true love for God is never an individual or an inward thing, but should be evident in all other relationships. Moreover, to obey all the "thou shalt nots" is not enough, but rather we are called to be active as God's people, living out the Creator's love for his creation by bringing our whole hearts and souls and minds, our whole selves, to the task of loving. But what do these commandments have to say to us today? How do we love our neighbours when we are not even allowed to enter their house or stand within 2 metres of them? There is a real danger, as the months go on, that we are all becoming isolated in our own bubbles and focused, even fixated, on our own individual problems and worries. Yet the need now for empathy and healing and kindness towards our neighbours has perhaps never been greater. And as Christians, if we love God with all our hearts and souls and minds, then we must allow concern for others to flow from that love, to encompass all who are struggling with practical and spiritual needs. Right now, our world is desperate for healing and wholeness, and that can only begin with the actions of individuals to one another. With growing fears, anxieties, and uncertainties, everyone could do with just a kind word or gesture, particularly at this time of isolation for so many. During the first lockdown, we heard of many small and large acts of kindness as neighbours reached out to one another. People gave generously to support key workers, and there was a feeling of camaraderie and "we're all in it together." But as restrictions eased, there appeared many examples of selfishness of the worst kind, of verbal and physical abuse inflicted on shop workers trying to enforce the rule to wear face masks in shops, of blatant disregard of the rules to social distance, and of attacks on members of our emergency services. Now, with more stringent measures being enforced again, and public unrest and dissatisfaction with the government rising, it seems the motivation to be kind to one another has begun to rub off again. A number of people in the public eye have tried to urge everyone to be kind, perhaps most notably the late Caroline Flack, who suffered greatly at the hands of internet trolls for a number of years, and who, in her suicide note, left the plea that people should be kind. But still, we hear of daily of harassment of people in the public eye, or teenagers driven to desperate means by the cruelty of trolls on social media. Why does it seem to be so hard to be kind and supportive? In our first reading from Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, Paul recalls how he and his companions have depended upon their confidence in God in order to preach in the challenging circumstances that faced them in Thessalonica. But they have focused on spreading God's good news rather than upon their own needs, and have done so gently and tenderly, like a nurse tending her own children. The passage concludes with the recognition that not only are they called to share the good news, but also to share their very selves. It's a softer side to Paul that we don't always see in his writing. Sometimes his views can appear forceful and dogmatic. But the gentleness that Paul describes here comes from strength. He had undergone a life-changing experience on the Damascus Road. He had struggled to become accepted as a leader of the Christian community. He had to be strong, and yet, as a result of all that he had endured, he knew that he himself was precious to God, and that is what gave him strength, which he showed in gentleness to God's other precious children. So as we wrestle with how to love our neighbours in practice, when our church doors remain closed and our opportunities to mingle and converse are few, let's be encouraged by the faith and persistence of the apostles. Let's be motivated by their willingness to put others before self, despite all the difficulties and dangers they face. And let's continue to seek ways to express our faith and devotion to God through our service to our neighbours. Amen. Our next hymn is "A New Commandment I Give Unto You." And now Mandy and John Foster will lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Gracious God, out of the generous love you pour upon us and the hope you hold before us and the faith you inspire in us, we offer you our prayers for the healing of creation. We pray for a world battered by human greed and desperate to be cared for. God of love, who calls us to love,
pour out your generous love upon us. We pray for communities shattered by war and violence and longing for peace. God of love, who calls us to love, pour out your generous love upon us.
We pray for people suffering in body, mind and spirit and seeking wholeness. Today we pray especially for those who are suffering from COVID-19 at home and in hospital. We pray too for all key workers, medical staff, carers, administrators and cleaners who risk their own safety to care for others. God of love, who calls us to love,
pour out your generous love upon us. We pray for those we know with particular needs, and hope for the assurance of your comfort. We think of those who are fearful, lonely, anxious, or disturbed by the current crisis or other circumstances. God of love, who calls us to love, pour out your generous love upon us.
We pray for ourselves in our need and our longing to obey, and to love you with all our heart, soul and mind. Teach us to listen, to follow and to act in love. God of love, who calls us to love,
pour out your generous love upon us.
Amen.
Our final hymn is Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Blessing. Be willing to learn, willing to share, willing to love, willing to care, and be blessed in your journey of faith today, this coming week, and always.
Amen.